Oh, yeah, the children need to go to church as soon as they give. Don't let them miss the chance to give. Bill, that little one right there wants to give you something. There you go. Doesn't make any difference what it is. Let them give. Anyway, went to a pastor's prayer meeting right up the road here. Quite a few pastors represented there, probably a good 40, 30 to 40, I don't count. And I got angry. This has nothing to do with the message. This is what you call just a little piece of information. I sat there and I saw supposed leaders of churches all in this area beg God for things. I mean, they just groveled and whined and begged. And I'm going, what in the world am I yoked with? This is not me. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. And God says, yes, you are. Yeah, you are. He said, didn't I tell you what you were to do in the future? I said, yeah. He reminded me. I'm very bashful about that, but basically he commanded me a long time ago that I would pastor pastors. I'm doing that right now. That's what you guys are in the future, I promise you. But not anything like what I'm going to do. And I said, God, I can't. I get in trouble every time I do this. You know, why? I just got here. Well, it didn't go away. So I let them go on with their little... I wish they'd have just called it a knitting bee or whatever. If we'd have just knitted, it would have been better. If we'd have made cakes... If we'd have sewn dresses, if we'd have worn some pink lace, it would have been better. I couldn't stand it. And I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes so tight that water squeezed out. I wasn't crying. I was angry. You ever do that? Because when I got through, there was tears coming down my eyes that wasn't from being touched by the Holy Spirit except in prayer. I wasn't saddened. That's what I mean. And I wasn't in joy. I was... You know, and you start praying what mothers need to do and fathers both. But you know how you pray? Can I tell you how to pray? You pray the Word. You don't have to pray your Word. Pray God's Word. That's all you have to do. When you pray exactly what the Word says. And I promise you, He will answer because it's His Word. You're just coming into agreement. That's all. And their prayers were so touching. God, send us people. God, make us holy. God, 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 God. God's going, you're not exciting Him. That's what I'm telling you. His Word and your faith excites Him. Not your Word and your faith. His Word and your faith. That's what excites Him. That's what turns Him on. And I don't even... That's right. You speak His Word and you don't have to worry if your prayer is correct. It is. It's correct. And you know what I started off? I just started, boom. I felt like I had a PA system. And I owned that room for a minute. And I said, God, I'm so thankful for these men. I'm thankful that You put them here in their position. And I'm thankful that everything they prayed is a desire from Your heart. And would You please teach these men that it was Your desire that they're praying and they don't have to do it timidly, but You're behind it 1,000%. You made them pray that. And all You're doing now is coming into agreement with them, and now You're going to hear and answer every one of their prayers. And then we don't have to come in. We're supposed to come in boldly into Your presence with praise. And boy, and I'm going on like that, and I could hear, ooh. Somebody went, ooh. Well, I didn't stop. You just keep praying. I don't know how long I prayed. Don't care. I know what the next three prayers were, though. They were preaching at me. The next three prayers were preaching at me. God, help us understand that it's not by power, but it's by grace. And it's by mercy. Oh, mercy. God has to have a lot of grace and mercy to listen to that kind of nonsense. Are you hearing me? And I come back fired. Unfortunately, Jeff was the next phone call, and he got it with both barrels. I was so in a turmoil about that. And I thought, this is unequally yoked. See, I don't have to go back. God says, yes, you do. I'll have to borrow a... Where's Bill? I need to borrow his bulletproof vest when we go the next time. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to tell you something. I like boldness because God likes boldness. Not meanness. There's a difference. When you pray His Word and you put your faith in it, that's bold. It doesn't make any difference what you're saying or what you're doing. If it's God's Word, it will work. So let's look at God's Word. Amen? Hopefully I can flip through these pages fast. There are some things, and I just put in here again, this is the day we honor mothers. It's the day we honor our wives, and I thank you for that. I thank them for that. But here's another thing. Without instruction, there's no honor. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You know how my mother brought honor to me? Through instruction. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? God brings honor to us through instruction. So let's be instructive. I wrote down here, let's look into what God says is a good wife and mother. More than that, a bride without spot or wrinkle. More than that, what He will accept and what He won't accept. Now what I did is I just included everybody in this auditorium in case you want to know. When I said a bride without spot or wrinkle, that's everyone in here. All right. After all, it is up to Him. It's what He desires and requires. I'm going to read you a story here. You know this about the 10 virgins. And I want to, this is probably a harsh thing to say, but not everybody that calls himself bride is a bride. Not everybody calls himself a mother is a mother. And not everybody that calls himself wife is a wife. And I'll show you what I mean. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 12. Then the kingdom of heaven, isn't that amazing? Every time that Jesus spoke, he was talking about the kingdom. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Everybody here know what a virgin is? It's somebody that's already taken the name but has not formally stood beside the bride, the groom. Are you understanding? In reality and technicality, we are the betrothed. We are the virgins. We have been given to Christ Jesus, but He has not yet come for us. Understand, the engagement process in this day was that you were just as much married. Every rule applied to you except for the consummation of the marriage had not occurred. But I'm promising you, you could commit adultery and you were stoned just like after the marriage. Every rule applied to the engaged person, the virgin. Okay. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Can I just interject something here? Everyone, what was Jesus' last name? I thought I might trick you. You didn't do it. I thought you might tell me Christ. It is not His last name. Whatever Jesus' last name was, these women had already taken it. All 10 of them. You got that? All 10 of them were saying, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. Are to the groom. I'm trying to put it together with us. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Why is that? Well, 5 were serious and vigilant and 5 were not. That's why. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, why did they need lamps? Well, there's 2 reasons. They were going out to meet Him, number 1, and number 2, the groom was coming to meet them. If I've got a light, it's easier for me to see. If I've got a light, it's easier for somebody to see me. Right? This was the light of their relationship. Or the mark so that the groom could find them. Did you hear the last statement that I just made? It was the mark so the groom could find them. When Jesus is coming, He's going to be looking for a mark. You know that? He really is. His or someone else's. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So they all needed to sleep. And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. How many of you know what trimming your lamp does for you? See, we're getting a society now, you don't even know what it means. It's the only way that lamp burns bright and clear. It gets that old burnt up stuff on the end and you start losing your light. So you trim it. You don't put it out, you just trim it. You make it prettier. According to the definition of this word, you adorn. It's an adornment. They got up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, I want you to listen to this, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. A foolish person wants no work, no obligation, they just want to take. They never want to give. But the wise answered, saying, not the hard-hearted, the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. You know what they're saying? Go do what I had to do. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. In the kingdom, there's not any shortcuts. You're going to do what has to be done. Or you're not going to be called a bride. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, husband, husband, betrothed, betrothed, please, please, wine, wine, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Now this is the groom. This is the one that made the deal to be engaged to him. And he said, I don't know you. You ever heard that statement before? I don't know you. In Matthew 7, 22 and 23 it says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or rebellion. I want to tell you something about our job. And I'm going to speak, this is to mothers and fathers, but this is Mother's Day. Mothers, you take it on the chin. Father's Day, we'll take it on the chin, okay? We'll just speak that way. It isn't enough to take a guy's name. It is illegal to take his money. It's illegal not to do your part. It's immoral, sick, and wrong. Our society nowadays says all you have to do, Jeff, all you have to do is hang around a woman 1 minute and be introduced one time as a wife, and now she has a right to everything you've got. This says that Jesus will say, depart from me, I don't know you, you lawless, rebellious outfit. Wonder who's right. Wonder who's right. I think I'll take God's word on it. How about y'all? A covenant or engagement or marriage is a two-edged sword. There are definite requirements for both parties. Don't ever be deceived. I'm going to tell you something. This is God's word. I'm going to speak it boldly and I'm not going to back up. What I read from this point forward, what I've already read, is a requirement of God for brides. That's all of us, including women. Not excluding. There's no exclusions here. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're going to do it according to the will of the groom, or we're going to get the door shut in our face and say, I don't know you. Am I being rude this morning? I'm telling you, I'm kind of boiled at what I saw over in that pastor's meeting. I saw virgins betrothed to God in the form of men, and I even use that word loosely. These were not leaders. These were not men. These were not determined people. These were not determined leadership of the house. They were soft. They were effeminate. They were what I call wussies. I'm sorry. It made me sick. You know, the best time in the world, I'll tell you what, when I was being raised, Dad would get angry and he would whip. And we kind of went, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know why? Because sometimes it was out of anger. Now, don't you look at me funny. Most of you men have done the same thing, so you understand what I'm saying. But Mom was determined. She'd make it rough. She'd go out to the salt cedar trees, and she'd warn you, and she'd pull off this limb, and then she'd strip it down, all these little bitty limbs off of it. And the whole time, you know she was determined. This was going to happen. And you knew what it was about. And it was a whole lot rougher than any whipping I ever got from my dad. A whole lot rougher. You hearing me? Too many times, these virgins, all 10 of these virgins were busy. They were doing what they thought they were supposed to do. But there was something missing in 5 of them. There was diligence. There was determination. They didn't have it. The Bible calls it foolish. Psalm says, a little folding of the hands, a little sleep, a little slumber, and you just turn out worthless. I hope that there's many of you that have already kind of raised your children, but some of you are just kind of in the process. Would you listen to me? Would you listen to me? Marcia, would you listen to me? I'm going to tell you, your children will call you blessed if you stay on them. If you stay at it. If you're just determined, no matter what those little rugrats get after you about, no matter what they call you, no matter what kind of fit they throw, you have your rules, you have your guidelines, and you stick with it. You look at them, and this may sound cruel, but that kid of yours has got some of me in him. And he's hard-headed and he's ornery. And you got to be more determined than he is. You got to look at that kid with a smile on your face, love in your heart, and say, "You will never win over me. I have spoken." Where do I get that from? That's what God says. I said, "I don't want to go back to that prayer meeting." He said, "Don't remember asking you. I remember telling you. Don't remember asking you." You know what's cool about God? I can understand Him. He doesn't speak in theory. He doesn't speak rhetorically. He doesn't speak in such high English that I have to go to my dictionary and figure out what it is He just said. When He speaks, I understand it. More than that, I understand what's going to happen if I don't listen. Because we've already been through that. I don't need to keep going through it. Titus 2 says this, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine." Mothers, are you listening to me? You must not teach what the world has told you to teach. You must not teach what the psychologists tell you to teach. You must teach according to sound doctrine. You know what that means? That means don't think for yourself. Read the Bible. Don't try to figure it out. Do it. Just do exactly what the Bible tells you. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. By the way, if you don't love your husband and children with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, you don't love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You haven't figured out how that it works yet. That's all of us, by the way. To be self-controlled. Isn't that? Look at that. Look at that. Anybody looking at Titus 2, verse 5? It says to be self-controlled. I thought every word in the Bible would have said to be God-controlled. That looks like some of it's being put on us, don't it? That means when I mess up, I take myself in the back room, not my kid. I take myself in the back room and I whip on me for a while. So that I learn that's not fun, I won't do that again. Be self-controlled and pure. Be busy at home. To be kind and to be subject to their husbands. Oh, don't like that one. I don't care. It's in the Bible. To be subject to their own husbands. So that no one will malign the Word of God. Did you see that? You know what the devil's busy teaching right now? That women do not have to honor their husbands. This says that if you don't honor your husband, you malign the Word of God. You call him a liar. You damage the Word of God. This is what she brings to a marriage, physically and spiritually. And I want you to think about this, wives, husband, children, everybody. Proverbs 31, a wife of noble character, who can find her? It does not say a nice wife, a pretty wife, a wife with a good figure, a good housekeeper, one that sweeps the floor good, has great English, makes a lot of money. It doesn't say that. It says a wife of noble character. Who can find her? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. My word is value comes from a good woman. Did you see that? The husband's value comes from a good woman. A woman of noble character. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She doesn't lie. She doesn't two-time. She doesn't gossip. We've already read that. Nobody's afraid of what she's going to say because she's thinking about good things. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. If you don't work, you malign the Word of God. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. Ooh, that doesn't mean the thunderstorm, does it? She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Oh, now that can't be right. Women can't buy and sell. That would be out of God's law. It says that they do that. They can do that. In fact, it says they ought to do that. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong. Ooh, women aren't supposed to have strong arms. Proverbs says they are. Strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable. Uh-oh. I'm supposed to be making money. And her lamp. Hey, I bet you that applies to me and my wife. We're supposed to be making money. Must not be a dirty thing to make money. The Bible says I should. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her finger. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, must be applying to those in Denver also. She has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in beautiful garments. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purples. Boy, she keeps herself. She don't wear mousy old out floppy house shoes and an old dirty robe, and her hair's not all goofed up. She's dressed good. Her husband, listen to me, because she does all this, listen, this is so fantastic. Her husband is respected at the city gate. It doesn't say that she's this way because he's respected. It says he's this way because she. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the future, the days to come. She's not afraid. Listen to this. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She does not eat the bread of soap operas. She does not eat the bread of sleeping till noon. Okay. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Hallelujah. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you, Connie, surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. By the way, if you think you can keep up with my mom one day, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? I'll dare you. And then remember, she's 80 or something. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That means, husband, don't you take one bit of her praise away from her. She's earned every bit of it. You give it to her, you give it to her boldly. Ephesians 5 says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Husbands, are you washing your wife with Word? Because you'll never get a Proverbs woman unless you are. You've got to know the Word. You've got to wash her with that Word. And to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. He who honors his wife honors himself. He who loves his wife loves himself. I will submit to you that any husband that does not love his wife doesn't know God. Doesn't know God. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. 1 Corinthians 7 says this, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do you understand what kind of a promise God just laid down in that verse? See, you guys are caught up talking about physical things. I want you to listen to a spiritual statement for a minute. Whose bride are you spiritually, Jeff? Jesus. How about you, Harry? Jesus. How about you, Connie? And let me read you Scripture again with that in mind. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Who's your husband? Jesus. Jesus wrote this. He wasn't afraid to give those that love Him control over His body. Control over Him. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus is saying that if I don't love you, I don't love me? Do you get that? Do you understand that in Proverbs, we just read about a Proverbs woman and the very Scripture that says this, says that we bring Him honor at His position? Isn't that what that Scripture said? We as the bride of Christ bring Him honor when He enters into the gates, when He sits down amongst the elders. We do that. Now, if this one is true, we're going to start understanding one day what Jubilee really is. What Jubilee really is when we literally have control of the things of Jesus Christ. That I don't have to sit and listen to mamby-pamby conversations. That I can understand that with my prayer of God's Word, I can make things happen. Jeff, when any two agree of touching anything, I got Jesus. That's two already. That's me and Him. When my wife and I want to do things, we come into agreement. That's two. But there's one other party there. We have the three. And if you want to count the Trinity, there's more than that. I have a majority, I promise you. Jeff, you and I have been talking, I promise you, with two or three people, with two or three churches, we can change this nation because of this Scripture right here. We can change the nation. We don't need to outvote them. My wife has made a decision. She calls me her husband. Do you understand that I was never her husband until she decided that? But she did more than that. Because she believes the Scripture that says you are to submit to your husband. Now don't tell me, I don't want to hear anything but acceptance of that Scripture. I don't want to hear any argumentation about it. I won't discuss it with you. Jesus is not two-faced and double-minded. When He said, I am the husband, you are the bride, you submit to me, He knew what He was talking about. When the Scripture, He is the Word, was written that wives submit to your husband, that's exactly what He means. No more talking about it. Any discussion past that, you think you have a better way and you do not. I want to tell you what's great about this, not the negative part. What's great about this is one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. And sometimes Jesus knows better than me. Would you agree to that? Sometimes He knows better than me. So if I submit to give me a little bit of slack here. No, listen. If I will submit to that, it's always for my best. Right? All I have to do is learn to submit. And then I have received the mind of Christ, the will of God, the direction of the kingdom. I have received that through submission. My statement there I wrote to myself was a tremendous promise through submission. A tremendous promise through submission. Now, not through, because I've been moving. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband. Jesus Christ does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Think about it. If I can take... I wish I could role play this out in XXX. I really do. The truth of the matter is, if I come and give my wife a suggestion, and she says, I don't agree, then I have to make up my mind whether I'm going to say, this is the way it's going to be, or what is your suggestion then? Either way, it's perfectly okay. But then she'll come with her suggestion, and I'll say, okay, you have a better one, or I think mine's better. It's the only two ways it can go. And if I say, I think mine's better, right or wrong, she has to do it that way. Right or wrong, she has to do it that way. But you know what God does in that situation? He takes what was meant for bad and turns it to good. Because if I'm wrong, she has an advocate that'll come to me. And he will, I promise you. He does. He's faithful. He's not just faithful on my behalf, he's faithful on her behalf. So I can't go wrong. All I got to do is make a decision. And then listen, if there's no repercussions, I must have been right. If I get this little, you know, then I got, whoops, we need to talk about this again. You know, I got to change my mind. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with stepping out and making a decision, and there's nothing wrong with changing your mind. God loves men and women with tender hearts. Let Him speak to both. Okay. Luke 1, verse 26 says this, and you've read this, and I'm never going to let you forget this story. This is the story of Mary. Anybody? I've got a Mary in here anywhere. Oh, man, I'm going to get on you because you didn't raise your hands. Let me finish the story. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. How many of you know that you didn't find God? I mean, we got such screwed up statements. Yeah, I walked into service one day and I found God. Oh, no, you didn't. He was chasing you the whole time. Come on, get real. Ever since before the foundations of the earth, He's been chasing you. Protected you through thousands of generations. All right, we got the proof. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. By the way, Nazareth was not a good place to be from. Went right in the midst of garbage and talked to Mary. To a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice! Where's my wife? She always leaves at the wrong time. I was going to walk over her and walk in here and just say, rejoice, I'm here. Anyway. This is what the angel did. He walked into the presence of Mary and said, rejoice! Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Man, if an angel don't ever say anything but that, he's already just set me ablaze. You know that? The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. She kind of thought that was a strange thing that was going on. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. What causes favor with God? Obedience and a pure heart. You want to find favor with God? Obedience and a pure heart. That's what every virgin has to have. I wrote in here a little note that says, love is a decision. It is not a feeling. Love is a decision that causes actions. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. By the way, that's nearly a command, wasn't it? The angel didn't say, would you please, would you pretty please, let me get out on my knee, pray and fast, and cry a bucket of tears. I'll lay out here on prostrate on the floor for 35 minutes if you'll listen to me. He said, you will. You'll have Him. His name will be Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there will be no end. My goodness, He's exciting her now. He gave her a command, and now He's exciting her. She's just a bubbling. Woo, 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 woo. This is good. This is too good. Keep going. Keep going. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" I got your answer. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we still get the questions, don't we? How are you going to do this, God? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit." That's how. The Holy Spirit. That's how. "Will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." To those that are serious about their engagement, the Holy Spirit will conceive Jesus in and through us. Just remember that. Now you know why I want you to be Mary. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." You think you got? You think this is weird? Your cousin over there, your relative, they call her barren, and she's got a kid. You're second. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Behold. Behold. You know what behold means? It means look. Here I am. Look at me. Behold, the servant of the Lord. Look, God, I'm your servant. Just do anything to me you want to do. Hey, y'all bold enough to pray those kind of prayers? You've got to get that way if you're going to be a bride. This is the only way to be a good wife, a good mother, a good person of God. We must say this to God and to our husbands, physically and spiritually. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Matthew, can you all turn right quick to Matthew 26? This will end it. Matthew chapter 26. I ran across something this week that's all exciting, but it might be earth-shattering if you'll listen to me. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. You know this story, but maybe not familiar enough with it. This is when Jesus was preparing to birth a bride through crucifixion. He was preparing out of His abdomen to deliver a bride that's covered with blood and water. Amen? Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He's talking to His disciples. He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, oh, my Father." This hurts. This is a pain. Man, this is too much. This is nearly too much. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will," which is exactly what Mary said. But listen to this. "Then He came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Now listen, in case you've forgotten, Jesus did this twice, not once. Again, a second time, He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it." Did you ever read that before? I'm going to read it to you again. Listen. "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now, what I've talked about this morning is God's Word. It's not His suggestion, it's His command. Whether you're a young mother, an old mother, a young wife, an old wife, a young bride of Christ, an old bride of Christ, it makes no difference. Let me tell you something. God will give us a command. Do you understand that everybody in this place, God gives commands to? He gives burdens. These are burdens. I'm not looking forward to going back over there and sitting with those penny-wearing pastors. But God says, "I go." Now let me tell you something. How do you want to get rid of a burden, a weight? See, this word can set you free or it can put a weight on you. Do you know every word from God can set you free or it puts a heavy word, a burden on you? You know what the difference is? Will you drink it or not? According to this scripture right now, the way it's heavy is when I'm asking God to take it away from me. When it gets light is when I drink it. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done. Jesus said, I accept. That's what He was saying. I accept. Now, you know what happens when we accept our charge in the place that God's put us? Whatever that is. When we accept that charge, when we drink it, the burden is light. The yoke is easy. But if I'm fighting Him, oh God, isn't there another way? Isn't there another way? Isn't there another way? I'm sweating drops of blood. I know. You said that I had to submit to my husband. I didn't say it. It wasn't my idea. God said it. Drink it. Watch the burden get light. Watch it get easy. Watch it make sense. Watch God move on our behalf. It doesn't make any difference what we have to do. Whatever God's asked us to do, we're the bride of Christ. We need to submit to that, no matter what it is. If it's less temper, if it's more work, if it's less food, if it's more food, I don't care what it is. Whatever God speaks in your ear, it's going to be talking to Mary. I'm a Mary. How about you? And if it's got one purpose in mind, do you understand that you becoming pregnant has nothing to do with sexual? It's a command from God that says, go. What did He say next? Replenish the earth. All you're doing is obeying God. He thought it was you who had something to do with it. When He tells me, when He asked me to get up here and do this kind of stuff, it wasn't so that I could do what I wanted to do. It's so that He could have His way in the kingdom. I have a place in the kingdom. How about you, Jeff? You got a place in the kingdom? If you don't take it, the kingdom suffers. And then you suffer because you're carrying around a burden for years. Had somebody tell me yesterday, I want to quit smoking before I'm 40 years old and I'll be 40 in September. Why wait? Why do you want to carry a burden from here to September for? That's dumb. Drink it now. Accept it now. You know why I don't worry about a command that said I would pass to pastors? Because I already drank the cup. I'm not going to argue with Him about that. If that's what He wants, that's what He gets. Y'all say that with me? If that's what He wants, that's what He gets. No matter what, correct? Renee, no matter what, correct? No matter what He wants, He gets. He's my husband. No matter what He wants, He gets. That makes me a good bride. Isn't that simple? I don't know how it got so complicated. Whatever He wants, He gets. Now I ask you something. If He loves me, does Jesus love you? If He loves you, is He ever going to do anything to hurt you? That's the simplicity of submission. My wife knows something about me. I'm not going to do anything to hurt her. Not going to do it. Now, there's two reasons. One, I love her. Two, I'm afraid of who she knows. She's got connections. She can pray. He hears. I'm not afraid. I want to please them both, but I want to please God the most. Amen? Whatever He wants, He gets. Is that okay with this place? Now, I got to warn you, in the process, when you tell God that, He'll challenge you on it. He really will. He'll challenge you on it. He's going to find, Eric, He's going to find the place that you're most tender. The place that you've been resisting the most. And He's going to go pick at it. Don't do that, I'm ticklish. Oh, you mean right here? Say, now guys, you know why we do that now. Because that's what God does. That's what he does. Why? Why? I'm going to tell you. He wants us to give it up. Give it up. Any resistance, any desire that we have, anything that we have that's ours, give it up. Give it up. You know how much I know, Jeff? Man, I know a lot. I've been a jillion miles. I've done a jillion things. And every time I say that, God says, give it up. But God, this guy's doing wrong over there. Man, if you just turn me loose, I'll go set him straight. Give it up. Give it up. I don't need you to do that. Give it up. All I need you to do is what I tell you to do. That's all I need you to do. Amen? I want you all to stand with me for a second. I can feel things going on here all the way from being mad at me for the Word to being glad at me for the Word and everything in between. Well, God, I told you it's not me. I told these people it's not me. It's not me.